Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to The Conversation. This week on The Conversation, we will discuss the upcoming Indy 500. We'll also talk about Manchester United's choice and new manager of Louis van Gaal. Good or bad, I will give you my thoughts on the team's choice. Plus, some things that will make you go, what the heck? There's old laws and things that there's so many of them that they would cost too much money to get rid of them, but they're still there. That and much more. The conversation begins right now. Revelation chapter 3 says, "We serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut. He shuts doors that no one can open. Behold, I place for you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, but you have kept my word and not denied my name." Kind of think about that as you're going through today. And welcome to the program. It's been quite a busy week at work. this weekend I'm going to be at the 500 with my girl. It's kind of a weird thing to me because I've been to like the last 20 plus, 25, whatever, 500 been going. And when I've taken some people before in the past that have never been, they're like in awe at the pagoda, and they're like in the shops getting all the stuff, and they're like, you don't think about it. Yeah, you want a 500 shirt? I probably got 20 somewhere, you know, I got them stashed somewhere. You know, now I get my favorite drivers and stuff, and, you know, but they're going to hear about it this weekend because I'm going to bitch royally because I use AT&T, always have, always will, never had a problem with it. I've had AT&T since it was Cellular One, and then when Cellular One changed, it became Cellular Wireless, and then became AT&T. I'm not going to get Verizon Wireless just so I can get some apps to work on my phone for the IndyCar. I'm not going to do it. I'm so tired, though, of trying to get on the IndyCar app. Oh, this is for Verizon Wireless customers only. This feature is for Verizon Wireless customers only. That's about the quickest way for me to lose interest in this sport. It's to isolate me because I don't have Verizon Wireless. I can't use the app for the sport to find out who's where and what's going on. That's my rant on that. But I'm going to let them know because I'm not happy. I'm sorry. That's bull crap. Whatever. You know, I'm just a guy that keeps those people going around the racetrack by going to see them and buying the merchandise. And it's a great sport. But we're going to talk first about that, and it's been an interesting season. I mean, we've had a mix-up of drivers. If you go back to the very first race at the Firestone Grand Prix at St. Petersburg, you know, Will Power, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and Nino Cachinovas were the top three. Next week at the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, you know, was Mike Conway, Will Power, and Carlos Munoz at the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Michael Andretti, and Scott Dixon, and most recently at the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, you had Simon Pagenaud, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and Helio Castroneves, and those three sets were your top three drivers. And what do we have this week at the 500? Kind of go through the starting grid and give you my opinions. The starting grid, off in row one, you got Ed Carpenter, James Hinchcliffe, and Will Power. In row two, Helio Castroneves, Simon Pagenaud, Marco Andretti. In row three, you have Carlos Munoz, Joseph Newgarden, and Jer Hildebrand. In row four, Juan Pablo Montoya, the Colombian Scott Dixon, and Kurt Busch, going to try to do double duty. I'll get into that also. In row five, you have James Haxworth, Justin Wilson, and Marco Alshaw. In row six, you got Tony Kanaan, TK, Sebastian Saavedra, and Oriol Silva. In row seven, you got Ryan Hunter-Reay, Graham Rahal, and Carlos Sanchez. In row eight, you got Pippa Mann, Takuma Sato, and my driver, Alex Tagliani from Canada. probably the only race he's going to run, but, oh, I hope he does well. He needs to, I hope he gets a ride. I hope he can get a ride. In row 9, you got Townsend Bell, Charlie Kimball, and Jacques Villeneuve. Row 10, James Davison, Martin Plowman, and Ryan Briscoe. And finally, in row 11, you got Sage Carmen, you got Sebastian Saavedra, and Buddy Lazier. It's going to be a good field. The season's been all messed up, I think. I mean, I'd say probably Ryan Hunter-Reay is one of the most consistent out there in this season, having won the second race of the season, actually the third race of the season, coming in second in the first race, and he didn't do too bad. He came in second at the Grand Prix of Indy, so I look for him to be a very, very strong competitor at this racetrack. I mean, not too many people do too well from the pole. Not that if you're in the pole position, you're not going to win and not going to have a shot, but it just usually is not the lucky draw. It's more like a publicity stunt. You know, like a couple years ago, the greatest two quotes in NASCAR. When Alex Tag Landing won the pole the 1 year and the Indianapolis Star Racetrack Edition said, "Tags, you're it." The next most amazing NASCAR quote, I call it that because it comes from NASCAR, is when they used to do the Winston Millions and somebody got into Darrell Waltrip to get him loose and went around them to win the race, and Darrell Waltrip kind of spun out, and Darrell Waltrip goes, "I hope he chokes on that million." That was great. Priceless. Because it said everything, but it was clean. It wasn't cursing, but he said how he felt. And I really think Ryan Hunter-Reay is one of the guys to look out for in this race. He has been hot all season, and he is just the man that I think will do it. I mean, he's not doing too well in the start. You know, he's in the seventh row, but, you know, I don't really mean anything, you know. But Tony Kanaan, I think he's going to try everything he can to defend his title. And I think a lot of things, he was a Dale Senior to me that had done a lot in the sport, but won his biggest race. And he's just one of those drivers that's just dedicated. And a lot of the stuff and crap that happened to him wasn't necessarily his fault. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think I calculated there is 4.5 seconds approximately difference between the starting person, Ed Carpenter, on the pole with a speed of 231.067. The last place qualifier has a speed of 27.920. 227 and 231, that's the speed difference. What Darrell Waltrip and was the king at Bristol, and him and Jeff Hammond one time said this. They put their arms out at the start-finish line, and they put the space between them. This is the distance between when the first-place qualifier crosses line to the last-place qualifier. What do you do to get your car to turn that much, 1/1000th of a second, and you're going from first place in the qualifying order to fourth row, or fifth row, you know? So it's just one of those things that to look out for. I mean, that there's so many factors. And okay, I like Marco Andretti. I think he's going to be good in the field. But, I mean, one thing is not his fault, and he's eating the paint. He's eating the wall. He's done. We're going to talk about something that I thought was, I didn't think they allowed that anymore, just for safety's sake, but I guess they still allow the double duty. And Kurt Busch is actually going to run in the Indy 500 and Coca-Cola 600. The only person was 2001, Tony Stewart did double duty, and he actually won both races in terms of, he's the only one that's finished both races. He was sixth in Indy and third in Charlotte. And the last person he lose was Robbie Gordon. And this is a funny story because, you know, he basically got from the one track. When the race is over, they put you in a helicopter and they're flying you right down to the Charlotte. and they put all these IVs in him, you know. They put, like, two IV bags in him to get his fluids up, get everything going. And, well, he gets to the truck and says, I got to piss like a Russian racehorse. Where's the bathroom? What do you mean the bathroom? You need to get to the car, man. They've already, you know, yelled to start your engines. And, well, wow. Let me tell you, he was very happy to wreck out because he had to pee so bad. That's enough of that. You know, it's going to be a great time. It always is. And I just get so floored when I'm so used to going every year, and it's like no big deal to me. And you get people that have to come down from Canada and never been, and like they're like taking like 8 million photos, and I'm like, I'll be right back, and they'll leave like before the race starts, and they'll come out of like 6 bags and stuff. And look at this, I got a hat, shirt, underwear, socks, shoes, tie, shot glass, a mug, a commemorative camera, keychain, refrigerator magnets, beer koozie, ticket holder. I didn't think I saw a headband. I wanted to give one. No, I didn't get it. I'll show you what happened. Really? No, but you know, when you go over here, that stuff's not that big of a deal to you, but I think it's kind of cool. Now we're going to talk about the man, Louis van Gaal. He is Manchester's new choice to take over the club. And one thing he has done is he has kept Ryan Giggs. Thank you for keeping Giggsy. Thank you. He deserves it. He knows that team inside out. You want to know when those players crap? He can tell you. You want to know when they shower? He can tell you. You want to know when they get out of bed? He can tell you. You want to know what side of bed these people are? He can tell you. He's been there that long. Thank you for keeping him. And he, Ryan, we're going to learn from this guy. He is a great coach. They made, I think they hit a home run with this. He's 62 years old. You know, in 97, when he went to Barcelona, he won 2 Spanish league titles and 1 Copa del Rey. He's taken over the Netherlands national team. And once he is done coaching the Netherlands national team in the World Cup, he's going to start his duties at Manchester United. You know, he's worked with Bayern Munich. He's won UEFA Cups. He's won Champions Leagues. So he's done a lot. And I think he's the type of person they need. And with the first time since 96-97 that Manchester United hasn't been in the Champions League, you know, in European play, I was going to play right up their alley because they're not going to have to worry about, you know, all these other, you know, the European games. They're going to be able to play and work and focus on the new manager and playing and turning this team around. And the things he's said to the heads of the Manchester United and some of the backers and the fans, they're like, we're hearing what we want to hear. And I think there's going to be some good things to come. You know. And it's like this past year, I didn't expect us to be the champions. I expected us to have 4th or 5th, decent, you know. And at really, if we were doing really good, 3rd, you know. If Mike Ditka would have retired from the Chicago Bears, the greatest football team in all of the NFL. The Bears, you know, I mean, the greatest coach, Ditka. I mean, if you took and you had War of the Worlds, who would win? The aliens or Mike Ditka? I go with Dick. He was a great coach, but he would have retired a year ago if he had coached for Chicago as long as Alex Ferguson did. Just saying. I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan, so go Niners. Go Jim Harbaugh. I think he's going to be a good fit for the team, all jokes aside and all. I think he's going to turn this team around and get it going in the right direction the way it should be. Now we're going to go into funnel segment, not many people realize there are so many laws out there that and things in general that are ridiculous, in my opinion. And some of them, there's so many of them that they can't take them away. They can't, seriously. It would cost too much money to write all these off. I actually was told that one time I tried to get liquor online and ship it, like wine. Indiana, sorry, we can't accept this order. We can't ship to Indiana. What? I get wine shipped here all the time. Well, it's illegal. And I talked to someone and he goes, well, actually, funny it is. It's an old bootlegging law. You know, it's a way to, during Prohibition, a way to distribute alcohol. And it was banned during the Prohibition times, but now that there is no Prohibition, welcome back. I don't know what's going on, but I lost connection and everything, so I apologize for that. I'll just start where I was. And these laws basically are really messed up. And, I mean, I want my horse to do this. Go into your cabinet and look at your peanut butter. I guarantee you somewhere on there will say, warning, contains peanuts. And you may think, well, that's not that big of a deal. But then I always thought apple butter was cow's milk butter that had apples mixed into it, you know, like a compound butter. If you don't know what a compound butter is, a lot of restaurants would do that for, like, steaks or for, like bread. They might do a whole grain Dijon mustard and white truffle butter or a tomato basil butter, or they might do a cilantro and rosemary butter to put on a steak, what have you. And it... I thought that's what apple butter was. compound butter, excuse me. And, no. But it's just amazing things that you don't even think about. I mean, I'm reading things and I was watching this thing from the EU where they said that, okay, if you're a kid and you have those party blowers that have like that rolled up piece of paper that when you blow, the paper comes out and then comes back. You have to be 13 years old to use those in Europe because when it comes back, it could come back hard enough and it could go jam in your throat and you could choke and you could die. I don't get it, you know. I actually saw a thing one time because there was a bunch of people that like you can comment on the articles, and I read this thing that this lady said that she had her son had a birthday party and invited kids over and stuff and handed out helium balloons at the end for the kids, and one of the moms goes, you know, those are a choking hazard and this and that, and how long's the string? Did you measure it? Because you could wrap the string around his neck 3 or 4 times and choke to death and da-da-da. I'm like, I'm going to actually look up and to see if someone that got a balloon tied to curling ribbon that was helium filled, if they took that ribbon, if they ever wrapped it around their neck enough and choked to death and died. I feel bad if they did, but I don't see that happening. Call me crazy. And I had a friend one time that used to do the balloon animals. And, oh, you have to say that it's latex balloons. Or, you know, someone might, with a latex charge, you might touch them not realizing it. And it's like, you got to be kidding. You got to be idiot-proof in this world, I swear. We had tiny, I mean, if you ever saw the Merry Effing Christmas by Dennis Leary, it was great. You know, through the Stanford Binet test, put a creepy crawler oven in every kitchen in school and have the kids play with it when they get burned. You know, take a socket and make it so that they get zapped. They do that one time, they won't touch it again. I remember one time I was working with my dad in Connecticut and I was hooking up a sump pump and I was plugging in and I was getting jolted and I'm like, and I finally had to, like, took all my energy to knock this thing out of my hands. And he's like, oh, you're right, my blog. I was getting zapped. You know, didn't think about it, but I guess it was a wet connection. But, you know, I mean, some of these things are so ridiculous. I mean, pretty soon, okay, folks, you're going to have a bunch of 25-year-old kids. Well, because when I grew up, you might choke on a pacifier, so you couldn't have that as a kid. You had to be 21 before you could have a balloon, because God forbid you could choke on it. You couldn't have one of those blower things until you're 25, because, you know, because when you blow and it comes back, it might go down your throat and head much as Dan knows. You know, let me see what else here. Candy, oh, you couldn't have that, because Lord forbid, you know. You taking my teething ring away from my kid? Oh, that's a choking hazard. No, that's my teething ring. They're teething keys for my kid to gnaw on him to help with his teething. No, he could actually choke on that, because if he chews hard enough, he could break that thing off him. Really? Lord, help me. I couldn't, you know, one of my friends said, she goes, I don't know how to raise kids, because what I did is, as what my mom did to me, I'd go to jail for. I couldn't leave my kids in the car and go inside and $20 on pump six. What are you doing? Well, we're calling Child Protective Services. Man, you abandon your kids. Abandon my kids. Pull into pump six, put it in park, take my keys, walk inside, $20 on pump six and the receipt, please, and I come out and you're saying I'm abandoning my kids. My mom would leave me in the car for an hour while she'd go and shopping Kmart. You know, there's no repercussions for anything anymore. You know, you can't discipline a kid. How do you expect them to obey authority? You can't tell me what to do. You should hear some of the things I hear about, like, in sixth. And when I was in fifth or sixth grade, you know, heck, what were we going to get into? Taking a smoke bomb, taking, like, a stink bomb or smoke bomb and light it off in the school and just have the school filled with smoke? And even then, we'd probably put it in, like, a Coke can so that, in a way so that it couldn't burn anything down. Ooh, that was big troublemaking when I was in sixth grade and fifth grade. You take a pen and you pop some of those balloons on the locker. Ooh, you know, stuff, stupid stuff. You know, TP the bathrooms, whatever. You know, that was like, all right, we got to lock this down. We got a gang fight going on. Yeah, we got fifth grade Bloods and fourth grade Crips. Yeah. Again, going on the squat team. You know, pretty soon, you're going to have to be careful what diaper your kid wears, because if it's the wrong color, he might get shot at. Just funny. But, you know, all joking aside, you know, it's just, where is this country going? You know, I can tell you one thing. Take God out of the equation in the toilet. You know? You have people that give, but I agree with Carlos Mencia when he goes, you know, I hate the fact that we send the soldiers to fight in wars to die for freedoms we don't have, because you can't talk about my DVD or tell my jokes without someone getting all their underwear in a wad, you know. You know, but then when they come back, what do we do? Crap on them. I have a Mark Martin Salute Your Troops shirt, which I got to remember to take. And if I ever find military people at the track, I usually get them to sign my shirt. And I got, like, some lieutenant colonel, like, really high-ranking guys sign my shirt. And I remember going to this one, like, that was an Air Force tent. And he goes, this lady's the one doing that sign. She's, like, the highest-ranking person here. She tells me what to do. I'm like, heck, yeah. And it was just something neat to talk to them and thank them for what they do. And I even go over and thank the people that are the Border Patrol. You know? You don't really think about it, but they don't have the greatest job either. And again, if you're just joining me, welcome. And also, sorry for the mix-up. Something happened and we lost connection in the studio here. So I apologize for that. It's my first real glitch I've had. Never had that before, but anyways. It's been a good week. I get to spend the weekend with my girl all weekend. It's going to be great, you know, being on the radio and doing what I do, you know. Your personal life sometimes gets out there, and, you know. I mean, if you have to know, you know, here's for me, you know. I don't get how, if all you have to do is get a picture of Sharon Osbourne going one way and Osbourne going another way, and I'll take 75 photos and I'll get one to where it looks like she's mad. oh, they had a fight, and then it's an inquiry. Was there a fight? They don't know. They're just taking photos and trying to sell whatever they can to the inquirer. You wonder why celebrities are pissed off? I'd be pissed off, too, if every time I turned around, there was someone falling out of the camera. Okay, I'm just going into Walgreens, okay? Can I get a hair dyeing kit? I'm going to dye my hair. You know, if I grow my facial hair out, there's lots of white hairs. I went to high school with kids that had gray hairs growing. So, oh, I miss those biology classes in school where, oh, those are the funnest. Where, hey, hair can go in any part of your body, you know? And, like, I had a guy tell me one time, he goes, the fact that we walk straight and have no issues, it's amazing. Because one little, I mean, you take, like, the width of a hair in your ear, if there's something that far off, it can knock you so out of whack. You know, those are fun. When we used to sit there and say, hey, I learned more from a Bill Nye the Science Guy episode than I ever did from this microbiology 217 or whatever. Well, those are the days. It's hard to believe. 20 years my high school reunion coming up. Hard to believe, you know. But it's just going to be a great weekend. I'm looking forward to a great Manchester United season. Louis van Gaal, I think he's going to do a great job. Look out for Willpower. He's like in row 7, but he's going to be one to be looking out for. So thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm going to take my pick for the 500 will be, you guessed it, Alex Tagliani, my driver. Goodbye and God bless.